got a few screws loose since the days of my youth. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose and I'm telling you the truth. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose, you don't really want proof. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose, why I do what I do. It's a few screws loose podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you all back to a long overdue episode of A Few Screws Loose, the podcast, where we have mental health discussions by mentally ill men of color. My name is Dan and I am your host. You can keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show on Twitter, IG, as well as YouTube at Screws Loose Pod. Now, I'd like to start with an apology for being so inconsistent this year. Part of it has a lot to do with the coronavirus pandemic, and another part of it is scheduling, as we always say. And I guess the last part of it is I'm barely holding it together, believe it or not. I mean, this year has been so stressful and it's taken a toll on me. So I haven't really wanted to record. And like my main podcast, Black Law and Legal Lies, I'm barely keeping that one afloat. We're somewhat semi-irregular over there, but it's just rough because I don't want to talk to anybody. And right now, I can't even articulate how I feel or how I felt the past few months. There's just so much going on, so much to take in, so much to process. And usually what I do, rather than trying to process it, I try to distract myself. So I never have the time to really sit down, process what's going on and how I feel about it. Like, That's one of my biggest like go-tos is distract yourself from how you feel. Because if you distract yourself from how you feel, you don't have to feel it. But eventually it'll catch up with you and you will have to feel it. But it might not be at a time that's convenient for you, let me say. So, yeah, bottom line, I haven't felt like myself. I haven't felt like talking, haven't felt like recording, and I damn sure haven't felt like talking about my mental health. But here I am today. There's going to be some changes to the show moving forward. Nothing too drastic. When we started this podcast, we were recording twice a month. Once a recording on the 1st and a recording on the 15th. And then we kind of got into our groove. And me and P, we were like childhood brothers. So we got into a groove and we were able to kick it every week. I mean, we turned it into a weekly show. It was kind of therapeutic. Gave us a break from the real world to, you know, just chop it up for an hour or so. So then, you know, things got kind of hectic on P's side. And I took over the show solo for probably a couple of months. And, you know, P made an appearance here and there. But scheduling still, you know, was a big issue. So going forward, I really can't tell you what to expect, but as far as scheduling goes, I don't even know what the schedule is anymore. So in the foreseeable future, I'll probably just be dropping random episodes just whenever. And if P's available, he's available. If he's not, he's not. And hopefully after this whole coronavirus thing, kind of whenever we reach our new normal, then I'll be able to say, yo, this is the schedule. This is what you can expect. So right now, don't really expect much of anything. So again, if you got accustomed to listening to us, I truly do apologize, but I have to protect my mental space, and talking about my mental health publicly to strangers, especially during a time like this, it's just really rough. So moving on next. I got a list of things here that I kind of jotted down. Today, I was talking about humor, right? My entire life, I found it hard to laugh at myself, to appreciate embarrassment whenever it happened. Like, I took myself so serious, not my entire life, but up into the past maybe 4 or 5 years or so, I took everything to heart. I took everything serious. My sense of humor, I mean, I had it, but I wasn't able to laugh at myself because that's how serious I took myself. So in, like I said, the past maybe 4 or 5 years, whatever, I've been able to laugh at myself. And that's really helped me out a lot, because now it makes life more bearable to be able to laugh at yourself. Let's face it, we all do stupid shit. We all make mistakes. And I have always had a hard time accepting mistakes. I know nobody's perfect, but I would try to be as close to perfect as I could be. And mistakes, like, I would just beat myself up if I made a mistake. Which is why I never really tried a whole lot of things, because of I have a huge fear of failure. I cannot accept failure, and making mistakes kind of falls in line with that. I really beat myself up when I make mistakes. But what's crazy is when somebody else makes a mistake, when somebody close to me makes a mistake, yo, I'm there for him. I'm trying to help him up, brush him off, tell him, yo, it's okay. Jump back on that horse or whatever the fuck you fell off of. You got this. You're going to be all right. Don't worry about it. But I could never do the same for myself. When I would make a mistake, it's, yo, you're a fucking dumbass. What were you thinking? How could you be so stupid? You know, you're just an embarrassment to yourself. What made you think that you would be able to do whatever the hell it is? And I would just beat myself up. And then again, rumination, the whatever happened would play over and over and over in my head. And it made me miserable. It made me angry. So mistakes make me angry. So, you know, it's taken years and years and years to be able to identify that and to be able to say, you know what? Fuck it, I fucked up. Oh, well. And you can always find the humor in that shit. Well, I can always find the humor in fucking up and making a mistake. So I've learned, don't take yourself so serious. And I know it's easier said than done for a lot of people, but I can tell you firsthand from somebody who just hated, who found mistakes unacceptable, it makes life just a little more bearable. Doesn't make life great. Doesn't make anything great. But it makes it bearable to be able to sit back and laugh at yourself. So, you know, I said I'm going to post a thread of pictures of myself on Twitter. Maybe even some compromising photos. Nothing distasteful. But photos that I would not have posted, or photos that I would not have wanted anybody to see, just because, you know, I mean, fuck it. Let's laugh at me with me. Humor is everything to me. And I just wanted to emphasize that here, that not even finding the humor, I've always had it, but letting myself know that it's okay to laugh at you. Another thing I wanted to touch on is like, those that are close to me know that I march to the beat of my own drum. I don't really follow rules. I don't break rules on purpose, but I don't really follow rules. I don't really follow social norms or what society deems, you know, acceptable. I just do me. I march to the beat of my own drum. I do my own thing, and I'm kind of in my own world. But when it comes to friends, one of the things that I learned, and this is just this episode is kind of like a mashup of things I've been thinking about over the past maybe couple of months or whatever. But if your friendship has terms and conditions attached to it, we can't be friends because, yo, I don't conform to meet other people's needs or their wants or even what they find acceptable. I'm just me. I do my own thing, and you might hear from me every day for a week, and then you might not hear from me for another 2 weeks. You might shoot me a text, and I might read the text and never text you back. I might, you might call me, leave me a message. Yo, hit me up, Dan. And I might not call you back. Then again, I might, I just kind of do my own thing in my own world. Don't have expectations from me other than for me to be me. Once you start trying to apply terms and conditions, we cannot be friends because I'm not going to follow any set of rules or, I just kind of, like I said, do my own thing. And in society, a lot of us who are kind of abnormal when it comes to, being social or whatever, we get punished for that shit. Like, we have people turn their backs on us because of some perceived slight or because, we're not falling in line with what's socially acceptable. Anyway, just wanted to say, if your friendship comes with terms and conditions, we can't be friends. And it's funny. The reason I think about that is because I had a situation recently where, somebody let me know that they didn't like the way I was conducting myself, and I was not conducting myself any different than I would otherwise. So, whatever. Now, another thing I wanted to touch on is growth and who I am at the core, I guess. A lot of us podcasters or, creatives who put ourselves out there, we like to hide behind who we want people to think we are. In a sense, we wear a mask. And sure, a lot of us will say, nah, this is really who I am. No, not when you're presenting yourself to the public. I'm sorry. I find it hard to believe that everybody is exactly who they portray themselves to be. You might be that person to a degree, but I just don't see it. So during this whole pandemic, I've had a lot of time to think, and I'm sure most people have. There's some uncomfortable conversations or internal dialogues that I've had with myself that I've been avoiding for quite some time. And I really sat back and analyzed who I am at the core and realized that I'm struggling trying to define, I guess, whether or not I'm a hypocrite or whether or not I'm exhibiting growth. So, for instance, judgmental, you'll hear me saying, yo, I don't judge nobody. What they eat don't make me shit. And, whatever other clever, cool way you can say I don't judge people is bullshit. I judge people. I would like not to, and I try not to, but unfortunately, I do. Now, it's nowhere near as bad as it was when I was younger. Let's say late teens, early 20s, when I was an arrogant know-it-all who had all the answers. And, it's like I had a certain way of thinking back then. And if you disagreed with it, to sum it up, it was my way or the highway, basically. So if you thought, differently from me, or if you challenged the way I thought, Yeah, I was judging you. I was thinking you were stupid. You're doing it wrong. Whatever it is, life, you're doing it wrong. And, you know, that I was just arrogant. That's how arrogant I was. But it's taken years for me to be able to get over that part to where I understand that no two people are going to think exactly the same. Sure, people are going to challenge your ideas. People are going to challenge your thought process. People are going to challenge you. That's okay. But back then, I wasn't having it. It's like I'm quick to pull the "you're stupid" trigger. You know, I had my finger on that trigger. Like, yo, you don't think like me? You don't think like me? Boom, you stupid. You dumb. I don't think like that anymore, obviously. But I just use that as an example of how quickly I would judge people in, you know, like I said, late teens, early 20s. Now, I don't judge people as harshly, but I still judge people. I can't think of any examples right now, but yeah, I judge people. Also, another thing is I'd be quick to tell somebody, yo, I don't have an ego. I don't have an ego. I'm easygoing. It is what it is. Yo, that's bullshit too. I have a pretty big ego. And a lot of the things that I used to do were solely driven by that ego. And that ego was very fragile. The ego didn't go anywhere. I still have it, but at my age now, late 30s, I'm damn near 40 years old, to be honest. A couple years I'll be 40 years old. I am able to separate myself from my ego and look at a situation from the perspective of both, because I've been in my ego's shoes. I know how my ego thinks. I know how my ego wants to react. I know all these things. I know my ego very well. So I'm able to look at whatever the situation may be from Dan's eyes and say, okay, this is this, this is this. But I'm also able to look at the very same situation from what's almost like another set of eyes, which is my ego. And it's weird because it took a long time for me to be able to separate the two because that ego was very, very fragile. So when I say I don't have an ego, I don't necessarily mean that, yo, I don't have an ego. Sure, I do. But I am able to separate myself from that ego and not let it control me, control my actions, or even control my thoughts for the most part. Is that ego still fragile? Absolutely. But again, I'm able to, it's like a pet. Yo, my ego is like a fucking pit bull. It's like a pet. I was able to train it. You know what I mean? Like heel, sit, nigga, sit. Every now and then I still do have moments where that ego rears its ugly head to where I don't stop and say, yo, let's see what Dan thinks. Nah, it's just like, yo, ego, handle this shit. A lot of these things aren't things that I would tolerate today or things that I would even stand by today. But I look back and also say, yo, these are some of the same things that I did at one point. So again, it's like I'm battling. Is it growth or is it being a hypocrite, being hypocritical? There's lots of lies. Sure, I lie. I think most people lie. Do I lie about big things? Let's revisit that one. No, I think we're all guilty of lying. In some sense, I don't think everybody or anybody is 100% honest 100% of the time. We all lie for different reasons, I'm sure. Whether it's to, you know, we like to say protect somebody's feelings. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, someone asks, yo, how you like these shoes, man? I love these shoes. How you like them? And you think they're ugly and you're like, yeah, they all right, man. Or, you know, someone shows you their baby's ugly. And they're like, yo, you got to be like, oh, shit, that baby got a fly blanket. Yo, you know, I'm sure we're all guilty of stretching the truth or lying. And what's crazy again is I fucking hate liars. Yo, I don't tolerate liars, but it's like, damn, dude, you be lying too. So another thing that I've done at some point is I've taken advantage of people. Absolutely. And I've also had people take advantage of me as well. That's something that I don't really tolerate as at my age now. And it's something that I don't stand by, is taking advantage of people. I would rather help people than take advantage of them. But at the same time, yeah, there was a point in my life where I took advantage of people. So it's like, how can I sit here and be so adamantly against taking advantage of people when I used to do the shit? So, you know, again, it's like that balancing, not even balancing, just trying to fucking figure it out. Am I being hypocritical, or is that growth? I mean, or is there like a fine line or whatever? You know what I mean? So these are the conversations I've been having with myself. It's rough. Like an abuser. Have I been abusive? Absolutely. And I'd be lying if I sat here and said, yo, I've never been an abuser. I'm pretty sure. Now, I've never physically abused anybody. Maybe a couple of niggas, but, you know, I've never physically abused anybody. But I'm 100% sure that some of the things that I've said and that I've done to people, especially in relationships, were considered abuse, like mental, I guess that's what you would call it, mental abuse, or maybe even verbal abuse. Yeah, I was that dude too. And I sit here now at damn near 40 years old and find that shit just disgusting. And it's like, again, nigga, you did that. That was you. So I know you don't stand by it now, but does that make you a hypocrite, or does that indicate growth? Now, no, I'm not abusive now, and I haven't been in quite some time. But yeah, I used to use people's emotions against them. I used to use things that people would tell me against them to try to benefit in some way, or try to get my way. And especially, you know, when you're in a relationship and you share so much information, so much intimate information and details with people, if you're a predator, now I'm not saying I was a predator. I don't believe myself to have been one, but I was more or less, I guess, an opportunist. When you have these details, you're able to use them against the person who actually gave them to you. And they gave them to you. They trusted you with them. They trusted you with these intimate details, but yet you use them as some kind of leverage, or some kind of like bargaining chip, to try to get what you want from this person, because now you have this information that can be used in such a manner. And I find that so disgusting now. It actually angers me. And it's also why I think that I have a hard time building relationships with people, because I don't like to share those details. I don't like to tell people things that can possibly be used against me in the future, to either try to embarrass me, or to try to, you know, I guess manipulate me into doing something. This is hard for me now to open up, because I think I might have taught myself that lesson. Like, because of what can be done with this information, yo, don't give that information out to other people who can do the same thing to you. And again, I sit here being honest, and I just find that appalling now. I find that nasty, disgusting. And again, I've had all this time to sit and think and have these honest conversations with myself, these hard conversations. And it goes back to hypocrite or growth. And I can't really decide, you know, what I'm displaying or what that means for me. Because a lot of the things that I used to do, I find disgusting and I don't tolerate now. If you did it, like P did some of these things or whatever, I wouldn't fuck with you. If Ann did some of these things, I wouldn't fuck with her because, you know, I do stand on my principles, right or wrong. I stand on them. And I think taking advantage of people, using people is probably one of the worst possible things you can do to somebody, especially somebody with low self-confidence or self-esteem issues. These people need to be built up, but yet there's predators out here. And again, I don't believe myself to have been a predator, but there's predators out here that smell that weakness and they'll use it against you. And what that further does is it further breaks that person down who has this low self-esteem, who has, you know, this low confidence in themselves. It doesn't help build them up. And people with those issues, sure, you know, the Cat Williams joke, bitch, it's your self-esteem. It is the esteem of yourself. Nah, sometimes people need help building that up. I mean, yo, look at anything that's built. Nobody builds something that's massive and something that's just great by themselves. Like, look at just building construction in general. There's not one person out there building a building. You got a whole team of people. Like, sometimes building takes a team, and it only takes one person, one wrecking ball, to knock down whatever some people may have started working on. So that's kind of got a little sidetracked with that whole building construction shit. But rather than tearing people down, using them, and further damaging them, we should be collectively with people like that, helping to build them up, helping to give them that confidence, help instill that confidence in them. And that, you know, coming from a child, my childhood, yo, I had very low self-esteem growing up in the environment and the situations I grew up in. My self-esteem was shit. But yet I turn around and I take advantage of other people who have self-esteem. And it's just like it's a vicious cycle, especially in urban areas, in the hood, as we say, is something gets done to us and we do that to somebody else. You know, hurt people, basically. But again, I just find that disgusting. It angers me when people take advantage of people. And like I said, if these people have self-esteem issues, we need to work together on building this person up, not fucking them over and tearing them down and then leaving them in the ditch for the next motherfucker to find with their confidence even further shattered. And that's, you know, that's how we have so many broken people. I'm kind of ranting here because that I really mean that when I say that just fucking disgusts me. But at the same time, that was me. So in a sense, I disgust myself. And, you know, I sat up and in having these dialogues with myself, I'm like, yo, how do you fucking live with yourself with half of the shit you've done? There's like shit that I can't even talk about on this podcast that I've done. And thinking back, I just, it's hard for me that just to even think about this shit because, yo, I'm like, how am I able to live with myself knowing that I did this, I did this, I did this, and no amount of good, in my opinion, this is my opinion, I can go the rest of my life doing good and helping people, but if I tore down one person or I hurt one person, that I don't think any amount of good I do after that makes up for it because I still damage somebody. So yeah, sure, I can go help build up 30 people. Okay, that's good, and that's how it should be. But that one person that I damaged, there's no fixing that shit, especially if it was, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, man. Yeah, just rambling now. Guess what I'll do is wrap up with keeping my distance from people. Because of pretty much what you just heard, it's I it's no secret why I keep my distance from people. And even my friends, people that are close to me, know that we have boundaries. I have boundaries. And you're only going to get this close to me. And you'll probably never get any closer than you already are. That's, you know, of course, you have the whole self-preservation in there. But it's also a comfort thing in knowing that when you keep people at a certain distance, betrayal. I don't think I've betrayed anybody, to be real. That's a new one. But betrayal hurts less when I've been betrayed a lot. It hurts less when you can keep that person at a distance. So they're not close enough to you to where that betrayal is really devastating. Like right now, if anybody that I'm close with were to betray me, sans family, family's out of it, it'll hurt. It'll make me upset. But that cushion that I give myself between me and other people offers a layer of protection to kind of soften the blow, so it wouldn't hurt as much. So that's one of the things I do, keep people at a distance. And another reason why I keep people at a distance is death. I don't like death. Death is, man, I hate dealing with death. I really do. Death bothers me. There's something about it that I really need to kind of dig deeper to find out why it bothers me so much. I really don't know, but death really, really bothers me. Now, no, it's not a pleasant experience for anybody, especially the deceased, but there's something about it that just, I can't put my finger on it, but it bothers me. I hate death. So that's kind of another reason why I keep people at a distance, especially older relatives that I should probably be taking the remaining time they have left here on Earth and taking my time and spending it with them. But rather than doing that, I keep them at a distance. Again, there's a cushion. So when they pass, when and if they die, it doesn't sting as much because, again, we have that cushion in between us. So I'm really good for keeping people at a distance and using that distance as a cushion, as a layer to protect me from hurt. And that's not a good thing because there have been people that have passed and I'm like, man, I didn't talk to them for, you know, a year, 2 years, talking to older family members. And I would send messages through other people to them, tell them I said hey, tell them I love them, you know, shit like that. But I wouldn't pick up the phone and call. I wouldn't go visit. And like, for instance, my grandmother, one of my grandmothers, she passed away maybe about 10 years ago or so. But prior to that, I hadn't been calling her. I hadn't been seeing her. She would ask my mother about me all the time, and she would ask others, and I would be like, yo, tell her I said hey, tell her I said hi, tell her I love her. I could have done that myself, but I needed that layer, that cushion, so when the inevitable happened, it didn't hurt as much. Now, when she passed, did it hurt? Fuck yes. I also think that had I been spending my time being closer with her, which in all honesty, I should have, I think that death would have hurt even more. So again, that's another reason why I keep people at a distance. And that's also why I haven't gotten a dog yet. Kind of a sidebar, but that's why I haven't gotten a dog yet, because death is death. I don't care if it's, you know, a person, animal, whatever. I haven't got a dog because I don't want my dog to die. And yo, I can get a 6-week-old puppy, and here I am thinking about this dog's going to die. How am I going to feel when this dog dies? Not how do I feel, you know, how am I going to feel having this dog and being able to, you know, just have man's best friend or whatever, the good times with this dog. No, just go straight to this dog's going to die, and it's going to hurt you when this dog dies. So everything is like, yo, it's going to hurt you. This is going to hurt you. That's going to hurt you. And that's a result of anxiety. So that's just a lot of thoughts I've been having over the whole COVID pandemic. Sorry if I rambled a lot, because I, for the first time ever for this show, I just kind of had a list of topics that I wanted to just kind of touch on, because there are things that I was thinking about, and I'm still in the process of having these conversations with myself. And it's rough. It's really rough being honest with yourself. So hope you enjoyed this show. This has been another episode of A Few Screws Loose, the podcast. Please leave a review. And I can't tell you when the next episode's going to be, but if you're subscribed, you will get an alert when it drops. My name is Dan. Keep up with me on Twitter and IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show on Twitter, IG, and YouTube at Screws Loose Pod. Peace.